Let's please for our second reading to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, this is a very, very interesting and fascinating chapter. I will tell you up front my belief concerning this chapter, and then we'll draw it out. I believe that Jonah is crying out to the Lord as a believer, not as an unbeliever. As a man who, although he had rebelled against God, the Lord has, through affliction, turned him. And so now... Whereas before he fled from the presence of God, and when under the conviction of his sin, rather than to deal with his sin, rather than to deal with the affliction that was around him in a right manner, went to the hold of the ship and fell asleep out of spiritual stupor, here the Lord, because of his faithfulness, because he is a faithful father to all his children, does not leave his servant to die in the waters, does not leave his child to drown. Instead, prepares a fish, and through those augmented and increased afflictions, turns the heart of his wayward prophet to repentance. This is what I believe chapter 2 teaches us. And it is one of those pastoral and intangible truths. Brothers and sisters, no one could do this for Jonah except the Lord. And no one can do it for you except the Lord. Let's take a look at a few things and then we'll make some uses. First of all, notice Jonah prayed unto the Lord, whose God? What does it say? The Lord, his God. The Lord, his God. Not the Lord God, but the Lord, his God. Out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, there was no greater affliction that the Lord could have sent Jonah than what he sent here. Either, and scholars are divided on this, I'm somewhat agnostic because I don't think it's the thrust of the passage. If it was the thrust of the passage, I'd spend more time on it. Some believe that Jonah actually died and was revived in the belly of the fish, and some believe he was brought right to the door of death. I don't know, and I don't think it's necessary to the passage for us to understand. What we do understand, however, is that because he was a son and not a pig, he didn't die in the pig trough. You understand what I'm saying there? I'm using the parable of the prodigal son. You see, he came right to the dust of death. There was no greater trial that could have been brought to him than this. And yet, notice that under trial, what do pigs do? They squeal. What do sons do? They cry out to their God. The difference is that affliction does absolutely no good to an unbeliever. It hardens him. It makes him worse. It furthers him in his evil bent. And you've all known those folk, haven't you? Who you hoped this affliction, hopefully, it will turn them. And what did it do? It hardened them. It made them worse. Instead of turning and repenting, instead of humility, there was a greater shaking of their fist, a more vehement complaint. Not from Jonah, and not here. Now it took a stout affliction, but the Lord faithfully brought that stout affliction. And so what do we see Jonah doing here? We see him turning. We see him repenting. We see him doing everything that that affliction is designed to do for God's people. Brothers and sisters, there is no affliction that comes to you but that the Lord sends it for your good, for your humility, for your reclamation and repentance. And notice the happy results here with Jonah. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Did you hear that? It was because of the affliction, not in spite of it, that Jonah cried out to God. Afflictions, they will have their perfect work under the hand of God. All right, so then notice what Jonah does. First of all, he acknowledges the grace of God. Thou hast heard my voice. Thou hast heard my voice. That's what he says. And so there is, in crying out to God in the midst of Jonah's affliction, there is, and I don't believe this is a prophetic thing, and I don't believe it's a mystic thing. I believe it's a faithful thing. Jonah finds real relief in his soul for his anxiety because he believes the Lord hears him. His faith wrought in the depths of his affliction so that he was no longer afraid. No longer thinking he was cast out by God, no longer found in spiritual stupor, ignoring God and trying to shut out the conviction. Now he embraces it. See, these are deep and pastoral things that take place in the heart. Then he says that it was the Lord who sent the affliction. Did you hear that? Thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and waves passed over me. You see that? Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, these are such wonderful examples of what it means to repent and to profit under affliction. We can't relegate this to some errant prophet at this point. These are the spiritual lessons we all need to learn under affliction. So then he talks about the depth of his afflictions in verses 5 and 6. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed round about me. The weeds wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. I know that you have been afflicted in your past, every one of you, small and great among us. I also know that we have not been afflicted to this level, to this depth. And yet, if in Jonah's example, we can call upon the Lord even in this kind of extremity, then even in our afflictions, this momentary light affliction, as the apostle calls it in 2 Corinthians, we can call upon the Lord as the apostle and as the prophet here give us example to do. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Now watch. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thine holy temple. You see that, brothers and sisters? When my soul fainted within me, I knew where I had to go. If I was not going to succumb to this affliction, if I was not going to die under its hands unbelieving, my prayer came unto the Lord. I remembered the Lord. Can you? Can you remember the Lord in your afflictions? Or do they lead you to bitterness? Do they lead you to greater complaint? Do they drive you farther from what you ought to be doing? Or are they the means by which you call upon the Lord? For Jonah, these were salutary afflictions, weren't they? Salutary. Saving. Speaking to repentance and so on. All right, so then note verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The commentators are divided as to exactly what Jonah means here. I think what he means is that there is a people that is known. They have a reputation. They are notoriously the people of God. And as the people of God, then, there is a particular mercy that belongs to them. Now, they may be hypocrites. They may not be the true people of God. But being known as the people of God, there is a particular mercy that belongs to them that happens, that comes to them in the midst of affliction. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you this. When you are afflicted, where is your confidence? Is it in the physician? Is it in the psychologist? Is it in the counselor? Is it in, if I could just cross this next bridge, this next hill, if I could just do this next thing? If it's just some other thing than God, then Jonah calls it a lying vanity. In the midst of your afflictions, you must run to Christ. You must go to Him. Because not to do so is to trust in lying vanities and to forsake your own mercy. I think that's what Jonah means here. But when our afflictions come, they must drive us to God. We must be driven to God by our afflictions and not to lying vanities. Not to some other prop and some other help and some other remedy. It was not trust in means. Means can become those lying vanities. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so what we have here is the fruit of repentance, right? The fruit of repentance. No longer then, in the bowel of a ship, in a spiritual stupor, Jonah, while in the belly of a fish, is at his most spiritually aware point in his life up until this point, right? And because he is there, notice what he says. That in his repentance, he says, I will pay that which I have vowed. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. And so repentance shows itself with its fruit, doesn't it? And so the Lord, having completed the trial, the affliction, and the reclamation of his wayward prophet, speaks to the fish. And the fish vomits Jonah out on dry land. We're not told where. And it doesn't really matter where. Because what do you think Jonah's first order of business was? Well, we'll find that out, Lord willing, this afternoon. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms. Continue praising Him.